From WBUR Boston at NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Europe is reeling from the attacks in Paris and trying to reckon with painful fissures in its societies. The New York Times' Roger Cohen and Oxford University's Tariq Ramadan have been paying close attention to immigration, assimilation, segregation, terrorism, to Europe's Muslim and Jewish communities and the rise of right-wing nationalist parties. This hour On Point, the way forward for Europe. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Does Europe feel explosive to you these days? How should Europe move forward with its diverse communities? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. The sound of stress, not hard at all to find in Europe these days. Here's Parisian resident Hadid Jar telling New York Times videographer earlier this month that prejudice against Muslims is deeply rooted in French society.
La France, elle a toujours cette...
France has always had, he says, I wouldn't say hatred, but this suspicion of Islam and Muslims, it already exists. It's not because of what these fundamentalists, these criminals did. And he's talking Charlie Hebdo there. Here, Germany, a man at a rally in Dresden, a member of the so-called Patriots Against the Islamization of Europe, better known as Pegida, last Monday talked with the Times also. The marches have been taking place on Monday since October, and last Monday, this one had an estimated turnout of 25,000.
Islam is nachweisbar. Die Religion ist,
says, speaking German here, Islam is probably a religion that is against us. It is aggressive. And then the sort of a German nationalist, I guess, crowd there chanting, we are the people. We are the people. Joining me now from New York is Roger Cohen, columnist for the New York Times, where he writes about international affairs and diplomacy. His new book about his own family's story of immigration and upheaval in Europe and beyond is The Girl from Human Street, Ghosts of Memory in a Jewish Family. You can read an excerpt of the book at our website, onpointradio.org. It's quite a story. Roger Cohen, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. It's a pleasure.
You're telling a very personal story in this book about your family and its movements, Lithuania or Russia at the time, to South Africa, to London, South Africa. Plenty of immigration. Israel comes into it. The U.S. comes into it. In your own case, that's very much your family's story, and yet you describe the strain of moving between locales, the strain of trying to assimilate again and again, successes and failures. In that, are we seeing some large version of that played out across Europe now as all these populations try and find their way in, settle down, find their way, and local populations try to figure out how to engage, abide with them?
Well, I think we are, Tom. You know, in the United States, we tend to view immigration as new opportunity, as hope. And the United States is, I think, the world's most open society to immigration, despite all the debate about it today. But we forget, perhaps, that immigration is also leaving something behind. It's displacement, it's loss, it's the difficulty of adjustment. And that, I think, is what's going on in Europe today. You have large Muslim populations in France, in Germany, in the Netherlands, in Belgium, in Britain, in most of the major societies. And the attempt to integrate these populations has not gone well. It's failed. In some cases, there's a clash of values over how religion and state should work together, over women, over sexuality, over freedom of speech. So there are great difficulties. And I'm struck by the fact that 100 years ago, 150 years ago, when Jews were on the margins of European society and faced a lot of prejudice, some of these same difficulties of adjustment and integration were occurring.
Well, you've said that what's happening now with Muslims on the surface seems very different from what happened to Jews 100 years ago, but it's not that different. What do you mean by that, Roger? We'll hear direct from Tariq Ramadan in a minute. He's got car trouble. He's getting to us. But how do you see that?
Well, I mean that, for example, at the time of World War I, in British society, there was some hesitation about Jews signing up to fight for the British. Would they be loyal? And my great uncle, who was a rabbi, Michael Adler, in Britain, and who actually had the task of being chaplain to Jewish soldiers at the front during World War One and went around giving last rites. I found a diary of his while researching the book, and it's all about, have we, the House of Israel, proven our loyalty? Will Britain now see that we are loyal citizens? And I think a lot of Muslims in Europe today feel that they are not fully accepted by the societies they live in. And there is growing tension. At the same time, you have a Jewish population that has been attacked more than once now, is feeling a new level of fear. It's obviously not the fascist anti-Semitic right of the 1930s. It's more anti-Semitic feelings that have seeped in from the Middle East into Europe. You have a depressed economy in Europe, high youth unemployment. It's a combustible combination of tensions and fractures.
Your family's long migration out of, again, what's now Lithuania, took in South Africa, took in the UK. You were born in the UK. You spent a lot of time in Europe, in Paris, as a correspondent and more. I mean, how serious is what we see happening in Europe now? Is Europe coming apart, Roger? Sometimes it can feel like it is.
I don't know about coming apart, Tom. I do think I wrote a series when I was based in Berlin from 1998 to 2001 about immigration, the difficulties of immigration. That's now 15 years ago. It's not an entirely new subject by any means, but I've not felt at any time in my lifetime that tensions were at quite such a pitch. If you told me when I was in Germany at that time that there would be people marching in the streets of Germany saying Jews are pigs, as happened last summer at the time of the Gaza War, or that a synagogue in Wuppertal would be defaced, or that we would have these series of attacks, the Jewish Museum in Brussels, the killing of three Jewish kids and a rabbi in southern France 3-4 years ago, and now not only the attack on the kosher supermarket in which four Jews were killed, but also this absolutely horrendous, heinous, abominable attack on Western values, on free speech, on openness, on the right to be completely irreverent, which was what we saw with the attack on Charlie Hebdo. It's a very poisonous brew. I don't think, in answer to your question, that we're about to see brown shirts walking through the streets, marching through the streets of Europe, or that European society is coming apart. I think we could see extreme right parties in government, including in Britain. And it's a very unpleasant and tense situation.
Roger Cohen's new book is The Girl from Human Street, Ghosts of Memory in a Jewish Family. And, of course, there is a lot of attention being paid to the situation of Jews in France and beyond right now. Muslims, right at the heart of this conversation in a very big way as well. Roger, stand by in New York. With us from London now is Tariq Ramadan, professor of contemporary Islamic studies at Oxford, prominent, potent Muslim voice in Europe, a prominent Muslim Brotherhood family out of Egypt, exiled to Switzerland. He's the author of The Arab Awakening, Islam in the New Middle East, and The Quest for Meaning, Developing a Philosophy of Pluralism. Tariq Ramadan, thanks very much for joining us today.
Hello for inviting me.
Are we seeing the failure of, Roger Cohen says, integration of Muslims in Europe has failed or is failing? Do you agree?
No, that's the point. I have been saying this. And by the way, I would say that there are trends that we can see in the United States as well as in Canada, in Australia, and in Europe. And over the last two generations, I would say that we keep on repeating that integration is failing. And we take some of the situations that we have when it comes to extremism or violent extremists, mm-hmm. as we have seen in Paris recently. But I think that if we look at the big picture and the history over the last two generations, what you can see is that overall, the great, great, great majority of the European Muslims are now a part of the society, and they are and they don't have a religious or cultural problem. what they are facing for the people who are living in the suburbs has nothing to do with religion, and it's not, you know, we have to stop Islamizing the socioeconomic problems. What they are facing is unemployment and the school system not working for them. And this is a social integration, which has nothing to do with the fact that they are Muslims or coming, or as we are still saying after two or three generations, that they are French with an immigrant background, or British with an immigrant background. So if we look at facts and figures, I don't agree. What we called integration and feeling part of the society and being part of the society is working. Now we have to tackle the right problems and to set it in a way which is clear. We are dealing mainly with socioeconomic problems and not with cultural and religious problems.
Roger, you say integration has failed. Tariq Ramadan says, well, if so, then it's social and economic, not cultural. Do you agree, Roger?
I don't really agree. I do agree that there are large numbers of Muslims in Europe, whether in Britain, I think in particularly in Britain, but also in Germany, much less so in France, less so in the Netherlands, who have been reasonably successful, or in some cases very successful, and are integrated into European societies. I think at the same time, if you have high unemployment among Muslims in Europe, that's partly to do with prejudice. It's partly to do with the fact that it may be more difficult for them to find jobs. And I also think, especially after what's just happened in Paris, but also what happened in Brussels over the summer, and if you look at the rise of right-wing parties in Europe, there is a very big cultural problem, and that is that people in Europe see an ideology that says it draws its inspiration from Islam, and it's a murderous ideology. And people are reacting against that. They are wondering, what is this religion? Is jihad a struggle for inner peace, or is it a struggle to slaughter infidels?
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about immigrants, cultures, clashes, and the future in Europe after the Charlie Hebdo killings and everything we've seen, with two big thinkers today, one Muslim, one Jewish, with a lot of history and investment in this. Tariq Ramadan joins us from London, professor of contemporary Islamic studies at Oxford University, author of The Quest for Meaning and The Arab Awakening. Roger Cohen is with us from New York, New York Times columnist. He's been writing about his own family's long trail of immigration and migration. His new book is The Girl from Human Street, Ghosts of Memory in a Jewish Family. So many voices coming up in these days since the Charlie Hebdo killings. This was NPR's wonderful Eleanor Beardsley interpreting French Prime Minister Manuel Valls' response to the attacks on Charlie Hebdo and the kosher grocery in Paris.
Eh bien, moi je ne veux plus que dans notre pays.
Speaking in Parliament, French Prime Minister Manuel Valls said he would not tolerate Jews living in fear in France or Muslims being ashamed. France is here to welcome both, he said.
France is here to welcome both. But NPR listeners also heard this Yanis Roder. He's worked as a middle school teacher in a diverse neighborhood in northern Paris for 15 years, lots of Muslims in the neighborhood, telling NPR last week that he could see problems brewing long before the Charlie Hebdo attack.
Today, they open the eyes and say, oh my God, there are people in France that don't share values of the French Republic. For us, that's not a surprise. We knew that for a long time.
Tariq Ramadan, what do you say to the middle school teacher there in one of the banlieues of Paris saying, you know, there is an alienation here that I've been watching for a long time. Don't act shocked about it.
No, I think that we have to be very cautious, because I would say that this is exactly, you know, this perception that the people don't share the values, that we have a clash, is something that is also nurtured by some of the people in Syria or in Iraq, the violent extremists from Daesh or the so-called Islamic State. Mm-hmm. They are trying to nurture this sense of stigmatization, and you are not like in the country. We cannot deny the fact that in the suburbs there is a sense of alienation, and some are coming back to their religion as if this was the way they are going to protect their identity. But I think that we have to be very cautious with our rhetoric and confusing the sentiment that you have in France, for example, or in Europe, that there is a threat of violent extremism and something which is based on facts and numbers. We are talking here about figures. We are talking about something which is happening on the ground, which on the long run, there is a fact, which is Islam is a European religion. And even though some populists or far-right parties are playing with this fear, that are instrumentalizing this fear, what we need to do now is really to get out of this very narrow understanding that, in fact, Islam is a problem. What is a problem now is how are we going to come together to tackle the issues that are the center of all the problems that we have in our societies. And once again, this is where we need to reconcile ourselves with politics instead of having something which is very superficial discourse on religions and cultures. There is something missing, is that because we are scared now in Europe, we have something which is a kind of betrayal of our own values in art. We speak about equality. There is no equality when it comes to school, when it comes to jobs. We speak about equal citizenship. There is no equal citizenship. And if you do something as a French citizen, you can lose your passport and nationality as if you are not completely a French or a British citizen. I think that these are problems that are at the center of the discussion, but I wouldn't go as far as to say the main problem is a religious or cultural problem.
Roger Cohen, I wonder if Europe, in your view, has the ideological, the political, the cultural tools to tackle this challenge. I mean, we Americans have to be very humble, very modest, pointing fingers around diversity with our history. I totally got it. But we do have some tools here, the all men are created equal ideology, the nation of immigrants, self-understanding.
Well, yeah, Tom, nation of immigrants, that's the key phrase there in my view. That's a huge deal. And it makes an immense difference to the nature of American society. In the United States, people on the whole don't give a damn where you're from. They care what you can do. And that's not the case in Europe. In my own newspaper the other day, there was a Jewish woman in France quoted as saying, I'm Jewish, but my husband, c'est un vrai Français. He's a real Frenchman. Mm. And there you have it. You know, that family had probably been in France a long time. But this Jewish French woman felt her husband, who I assume was Christian, or had a typically French name. I don't know why she said it, but she said it, and it shows these invisible barriers that are there. I mean, I wish I could believe, Tariq, that basically if we could just get Europe going again, get the economy growing, get out of this long slump, things would gradually resolve themselves because the problem is socioeconomic. I feel it is cultural. It's way deeper than that. Look, the reason that more than 1,000 people from Britain, more than 1,000, perhaps close to 2,000 youths from France, more than 500 from Germany have gone off to join the organization that calls itself Islamic State is that they're lost and they're angry. And they find a mission in life. And the mission is this ideology, which we saw led to the slaughter of the beheadings of American journalists and has led to mass slaughter and rape across Iraq and Syria. And this is an evil ideology. And it comes out
of... Yes, but
it
has nothing... Yeah.
And it comes out of a sense of being lost and looking for a mission. And also, I mean, Tariq talked about facts on the ground. You have Jews in Europe now being guarded in their schools, in their institutions. You have Dutch Jews taking menorahs down from their homes. That sounds like a pretty serious cultural and religious clash to me that's going on.
Tariq?
Yes, I think we have to be very cautious with this. First, by the way, when you were talking about the United States, you still have, as you said, you have to be very humble. I'm not sure that the people don't care about where do you come from. You still haven't, solved the problem of blackness and whiteness and Latinos are facing discrimination and racism day in, day out. So and this is the most targeted and stigmatized community, much more than the Muslims even. And the black or the African American Muslims. So I think that we all have to be humble, and comparison is not helping us in this. We have to compare our values with our practices. Now, when you talk about what is happening with this young, I don't think that it's only a question of integration, because, by the way, some are leaving and they are very well educated. Some are educated and they are leaving, and we have young people and we have converts that are leaving. So I think here that we have to be first, when it comes to facts, understands that this is completely marginal. Even though we are talking about 500 people, if you are dealing with 5 million Muslims.
You mean
French,
those going to join the Islamic State or other conflicts in the Middle East?
Of course, it's marginal. And when you talk to governments, they are telling you it's marginal. It's growing. We have to be very cautious. But this has nothing to do with, because there is a lack of integration, people are becoming violent. Because by doing this, this is exactly what the far-right parties are saying, is that they are saying that be careful, because as much as they are violent in the suburbs, they are becoming Islamists in the way violent extremist Islamist afterward. That's not the case, and we know that the on the margin, these young people and not so young people, we have to tackle two things here that are much more important. First is the understanding of Islam, and their understanding of Islam, it's our responsibility as Muslim scholars to be quite clear on the fact that this is not only an interpretation of Islam, this is anti-Islamic, this is not our religion, and we have to stand up and to say it. And this is what I have been doing over the last 30 years.
Professor Rahman, if I may ask, how do you, at least in the United States, and again, I'm the first to say we have to be very humble about our own history on the diversity front, but we do have these fundamental ways of thinking about immigration, about equality, that we don't always live up to. Nevertheless, they're core to American thinking. What are the ideological or political, the cultural tools in Europe that can help aid this assimilation or integration or accommodation of large immigrant populations?
But I would say it's living together, and they will come exactly to the same values and the same principles. If you come to France, they are talking about liberté, égalité, fraternité. It's freedom, equality, and brotherhood and sisterhood. These are values, and it's true that within France and in the history of France or Britain, for example, or the Netherlands, there is a history of diversity. The problem now is, and there was also xenophobia. But you can see what is happening even in the States, where you have the Tea Parties and trends that are very much stigmatizing Muslims. And this is also the case. And they are these people are talking about Arabia when it comes to Europe. So we have the means and we have the values. Now we need to have the political will, and we have to be very cautious not to confuse the discussions here, and to take what is happening with the people who are going to Syria or to Iraq and saying, because of this, there is a problem of integration. I would say this is the trap in which we should not fall. We have to avoid that, and we have to come to the right answer to the problems that we are facing with violent extremism. It's a religious question that we have to solve with a clear Islamic discourse, but it's also something which is important, the very superficial understanding of politics.
We have some rather prominent American politicians and in conservative media in the U.S. that's making a lot of this so-called or alleged no-go zones in Europe. The governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, just in the last few days picking up this theme, that giving a speech in London saying that there are Muslim immigrants have created no-go zones where non-Muslims are not welcome, where they essentially can't go in and walk around. This is being picked up and getting a lot of play on Fox News and elsewhere in the U.S., Tariq, this idea that if you're not Muslim, you can't go into Birmingham in the U.K. and other neighborhoods, let's say, in France and beyond. What about the facts?
No, I don't think that this is true, even though we have some places and we have within the suburbs places where it's there is violence and the police is not going there. But this, once again, has nothing to do with Muslims colonizing spaces. It's much more about no education, no school, no social institutions helping the people to be to find a job and to find their place within the society. So I think that we also have something which is important, is that we have some literalists now that are also working on the ground. And this is where I think that the first responsible for that are the Muslims, that have to be quite clear about the Islamic message. But there are also, and the mainstream discourse coming from Muslims today is that we don't have a problem being Americans or being Europeans, and we are citizens and we want to play our role. We want to show how much we can be an added value within the society, but we need to change the rhetoric, and we need to change something which is there in the States and not enough in Europe, which is the narrative. It's us coming together, building the country, building the future. It's as if today in Europe, we are talking about the past and the problem of the past with all these people perceived as immigrants, but not yet considered as citizens.
Roger, you write about the ghosts of memory in your book, The Girl from Human Street. It's not easy. It's not easy to let go of the past, and it travels. I mean, you write about, quoting you here, a cultural and spiritual vacuum resulted from this attempt to begin again. Your own family, again and again in different countries. It's not easy to start over in a new country, maybe even into the second generation, which many French Muslims are in now.
I think that's right. I think this is underestimated. My family's moved in each of the last four generations. Initially, Lithuanian Jews who went to South Africa at the turn of the 20th century, where my parents were born. Then they emigrated. My dad hated apartheid. They moved to Britain. Part of the family went to Israel, and I've become a U.S. citizen. We've been on the move the whole time, and normally when you move, there's a project. And what's the project? It's to begin your life again. You may do that remembering the past or trying to suppress the past. In my case, Jewish identity faded away. I didn't hear much of anything about Lithuania, where my grandparents and great-grandparents had come from growing up. But that's a strain. It's a psychic strain, trying to forget, begin again. And my mother broke down. The project failed for her in Britain. And I think there are immense difficulties for immigrants in Europe, Muslim immigrants in Europe, millions and millions of them. And I agree with Tariq that these problems, you know, resolve themselves over time. But I don't agree when he says the problem in some sense is marginal because you take the numbers and it's 3,000. But when you get journalists sitting around a table, as I have many times, and you have, Tom, and you're talking about what's going in the paper the next day, and they all get gunned down, and you get hundreds of thousands of people in the streets of Paris. This is not a marginal issue. This is absolutely front and center. I hate to think what might happen if there were another incident, another major incident. Tariq said you need a clear, you know, you need a clear message. This is against our religion, and he has been very clear in denouncing what happened at Charlie Hebdo, and clear before that about extremism. But when I watched him recently on French TV, making the distinction between jihad as internal struggle for peace and jihad as the slaughter of infidels, or when I saw remarks from him about how Charlie Hebdo had gone over the top, stigmatizing Muslims and saying in the past that people at Charlie Hebdo were lâche, which is a difficult French word to translate, but roughly means a bunch of cowards.
That bothers me.
I think you have to be very clear. We have freedom of speech in the West, and that includes freedom to blaspheme.
We need to know what we are talking about. The starting point of the discussion was a discussion about integration, and what I am saying is that integration is working in Europe. The second question is about what is happening in the West now with what is happening with this violent extremism. And my position was completely clear.
Tariq, hold the thought if you'd be good enough. We have to take a short break right here. We'll come straight back to it. Tariq Ramadan in London, Roger Cohen in New York. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Talking this hour about immigrants, cultures, clashes, and the future in Europe. My guests are Tariq Ramadan, professor of contemporary Islamic studies at Oxford University, author of The Arab Awakening, The Quest for Meaning. Roger Cohen is with us from New York, columnist at The New York Times. His new book, a really deep and interesting family story about many migrations, is The Girl from Human Street, Ghosts of Memory in a Jewish Family. Lots of talk of division and tension in Europe, but we should remember as well that enormous unity rally in France, even in Germany, where Pegidi, this group that says it's against the Islamization of Europe, has been marching. Others have marched from the other side. Here was Sebastian Radke last Monday in Dresden protesting the Pegida march, saying he stands for openness in Europe.
I'm here because this is my home, and my home should be for all cultures. It should be open for all cultures. It should be for refugees. It should be open for all religions.
Is there tension? You bet there's tension. Look at all the security concerns right now. Lots of tension in Jewish communities. Here's Michel Thibault in Marseille, France, president of a group that represents Jews in Marseille, talking with the BBC earlier this month about being Jewish in France now.
Jews are very anxious, as they've never been before. They all talk about living. That's all you hear in the families. When will you live? How will you live? What job will you do? Most of the Jews think of leaving now because they don't feel secure at all in France. I have to feel strong to show that I'm strong, but in fact, I'm very scared.
Tariq Ramadan, you're saying just before the break that integration is working. I think many Americans will look at Europe today and wonder how you come to that conclusion.
No, because I'm looking at the historical trend over the last 50 years, and I think that some parties and some people want us to understand that it's not working, and confusing the historical movement of integration, and I'm even talking about post-integration with now what we have to consider is the contribution and no longer the integration is working. But let me just be clear on one point, because I was not very happy with the way my position was presented.
Yes,
right,
please.
Now, because what I was saying is that I was clear on the fact that we need to abide by our common values and also by the rules and the legal framework of the our country. And freedom of expression is freedom of expression, and I repeated this, and Charlie Hebdo or others should have the right to say whatever they want to say. What you were referring to, Roger, is something which is different, which was a discussion I had 3 years ago with a journalist from Charlie Hebdo, and I was telling them, look, what you are doing is to stigmatize always the same community. And this community, and by the way, over the last 2 years, this is exactly what they were doing. They had financial problem, and they were targeting the Muslims. Every 6 months we had a new controversy, and I told them not that they were coward themselves, but the sense, the humor that they were using was the sense of humor of coward, because they were targeting always the same. And 6 years ago they fired somebody because he made a bad joke about the Sarkozy's son and the relationship with the Jews. And I said, there is a double standard here. You talk about freedom of expression. So I think that it's not because people have been killed that we need to forget the history before, and also being critical about the fact you are free to do whatever you want, but can be critical with the way you are using your rights and you are using the sense of humor. This was my position.
Tariq Rahman, how does this work out over time? We had a correspondent on from Le Figaro, I guess last week, when Charlie Hebdo was very hot, and she was saying, look, France won its tradition of secular culture through long, long struggle and warfare, even revolution. They don't want to surrender it. But you have now, what, 7, 8, 9, some say 10% of the French population Muslim, for whom some of this secular culture may be uncomfortable. It may not be welcome. How do those things reach alignment? Or can they? Does France have to bend to accommodate a less secular view among its Muslim citizens, Tariq?
I don't think so. I think that there is two way of talking about the secular system. The classical secular French system, it's inclusive, it's open to the people. But now we have some political trends and some intellectuals using secularism as a weapon against any kind of religious visibility. And the first, of course, are the Muslims to be targeted with the headscarves and things like this. Mm-hmm. What we have been talking about, and this is what I said to all the governments, what we want is to implement completely the secular legal framework equally for all the religions, and not to change the law to make it a system where the only accepted Muslim should be an invisible Muslim. We don't want to see you. You have to disappear from the landscape in order to be more than assimilated. It's to be invisible. So this is not the French secular system. This is the ideological use of the French secular tradition. And we have lots of people in France. You have been working for 6 years with what we call the La Ligue de l'Enseignement Français, the French teaching league, and these people are this is the headquarters of the secular thought, and these are people against the way it has been instrumentalized in the political arena. So I think that we might have to ask France to reconcile itself with the true secular tradition and not to use it against one religion or one visible religion.
Can these coexist, Roger, these ideas and this culture?
I think they can, but I think it's much more problematic than Tariq is portraying it as. And also, I think that Charlie Hebdo is an equal opportunity lampoon operation. And to suggest that it was particularly attacking Islam because of its financial problems, I cannot support that point of view.
Years.
Anyway, let's leave that aside. I think the facts are showing that.
So
well, the facts that you see show that. The facts I've seen don't support
last
that. I've seen plenty of lampoon in Charlie Hebdo against Jews, against Christians.
Over the last 2 years. You have to show me that. That's not true.
Okay.
Let's leave that aside for the moment.
Anyway, let's leave that aside. I think the situation right now is extremely difficult. There's a lot of anger in Europe about what has happened, and there's a sense that some of the values of Islam, about freedom of speech, which we're talking about right now, but other issues too, women, sexuality. It's an old story now. I mean, Rushdie is now – the fatwa against Rushdie is 35 years ago. Theo van Gogh was gunned down in the streets of Amsterdam 10 years ago. We're not making headway on this, on tackling this heinous ideology. And I think we have to look at it for what it is, and also understand that for all the successful integration of millions of Muslims in Europe, there are many, as many or more, who are marginalized and angry. And, you know, the integration of Jews in Europe, Herzl was in France as a foreign correspondent in the 1890s, covering the Dreyfus case. And once again, French society was divided, in this case, over a Jewish officer who was accused of treason and wasn't guilty of it. And his conclusion was that Jews would never be wholly, fully accepted in Europe and therefore needed to build a homeland of their own. And not even Herzl in his prescience could have foreseen the industrialized mass murder of Jews that would take place 40 to 50 years later. So it's okay to say some good things have happened, but to be just sanguine and think that because there has been much integration and because, as Tariq said, Islam is now one of the religions of Europe. Even that statement, I mean, some people in Europe would argue vigorously over that. So I'm somewhat more pessimistic and more worried.
Tariq Ramadan, what does the history of the Jews in Europe, the very difficult history of the Jews, often, you know, have done very well, but then again and again and again, deep difficulties. What does it tell you about the future of Muslims in Europe, if anything?
First, as Roger was right, he was rightly saying now, it takes time. And, you know, in my books, I was talking about Western Muslims and the future of Islam, talking it will take, saying it will take at least two generations.
But Jews have been there for centuries and were slaughtered in the last century.
Yes, but once again, there is we are learning from history, and I think that there is also a question of the reality, what happened, the number as well, and what is happening within the society. So I don't agree with the fact that there are as many disenfranchised or non-integrated as they are Muslim integrated. I would say that what is happening today, it's a transitory period where European Muslims are getting out of the geographical and social ghetto. We are now having more and more visible European Muslims in all the jobs everywhere within the society, from journalists to teachers. So something is changing, and it's now that the Europeans are realizing, aware that they were there, but for decades they were perceived as not being present. They were in suburbs. They were in on the margin of the geographical margin even of the society. So I think that what is important for us is to learn from the Jewish experience. It's not the same because the social context and the socioeconomic or the social status of Jews within the society was quite different. Mainly what we had with Muslims are people coming from Northern Africa, very modest background when it comes to education and very modest background when it comes to the socioeconomic situation. But still, what is important is that what brought the Jews within the mainstream European society is to be involved not only when we were talking about Judaism, but talking about all the, they were everywhere because they were feeling part of the society. And even though it was difficult, at the end they are succeeding, because when you are talking about Jews today in Europe, they are part of the society. They don't only talk about Judaism, they talk about politics, culture, they are involved everywhere. And this is a mistake Muslims are doing. They are only visible when we speak about Islam, and not enough visible when we talk about European issues as Europeans.
Let's get at least a caller here. Henry in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Henry, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, please. I've often wondered what the influence, several centuries ago, the Ottoman Turkish Muslims posed a real threat to Europe. Is this any lingering influence on the current anti-Muslim attitude?
I mean, it certainly comes up at the edges of this debate, and certainly in the nationalist quarter sometimes. Roger, there has been.
Well, I think somewhere deep in the European psyche, the Ottoman army at the gates of Vienna in the 17th century. Certainly, when I covered the war in Bosnia in the 90s, the Serbs, without any hesitation and with absolutely no justification whatsoever, regularly referred to the Muslims of Bosnia, who they were busy slaughtering and throwing into concentration mm-hmm. camps, as Turks. So in the collective Serbian imagination or psyche, these were the Turks, the Ottoman enemy, resurfacing. And I think it lingers somewhere, the idea of the Muslim as another. To Tariq's point, you know, it was precisely when the Jews began after emancipation in the 19th century to move into the center, as he was describing the movement of Muslims today in Europe, those who are succeeding, into the center of society, that Hitler happened. That's half acceptance proved more dangerous than non-acceptance. And I think that's also worth bearing in mind. And I also hope that as the Muslims of Europe gain positions of in the professions and are more exposed to all aspects of society, that they are very clear as to what Islam is and what it is not.
Tariq, does Europe, or maybe that's too broad, France, does it have to change its self-understanding in order to accommodate its large Muslim population? Does France have to become different, France?
No, I think this is a very important point that Roger just said. It's when you become mainstream that tensions are starting and anything could happen. And this is where it's a shared responsibility. The Muslim citizens has to be clear as to their loyalty to the country, respecting, abiding by the law of the country, and learning about the country and talking about education, history, and taking France or Britain or the other European countries as they are, with their legacy, their memory, their collective psychology. On the other side, I think that it's very important for politicians and for journalists and intellectuals now to have a new understanding of we. When you say we, who are you talking about? Who is this we? And this is what I call for a new we, meaning that France has changed. And what we have to change is not the law. What we have to change is not the culture and the history. What we have to change is our way of looking at ourselves in France or in Britain, or in the way you understand that these are pluralistic society. Willing it or not, we are building the future together. So we have to come together, and we have to be and to be serious about equality. We have to be serious about all the struggle against racism, as much as I'm saying anti-Semitism is anti-Islamic. Islamophobia should be rejected as something which is not acceptable. We have to come back to our values.
I should point out before we go, Fox News, that Bobby Jindal was citing no-go zones, Muslim no-go zones for non-Muslims in Europe. Fox News has just the last day, I guess, retracted that, called it a regrettable error, said we deeply regret the errors and apologize to any and all who may have taken offense, including the people of France and England. Try and keep the facts right on the table. The conversation is by no means finished. We're grateful to the two of you for helping us wade into it today. Tariq Ramadan in London, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Roger Cohen, terrific book, The Girl from Human Street, Ghosts of Memory in a Jewish Family. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.